set a pick. Harden to the basket on Solitaire. Demo with a foul.
Oh, man.
They're not giving Harden anything.
They're not giving Harden anything. He's not getting any calls.
Quickly to Harden. Harden to Demo for two and one. Oh, what a shot and what a play by Harden and Donatas Motiejunas.
To a great pass from James. Demo's not going to play above the rim like Dwight does, but he did get it to go.
Happy Friday, everybody. Those clips were back from January 2015 in Boston when Demo scored a career-high 26 points and really seemed like he was on his way to being an above-average starting power forward in the NBA. Then he had the back surgery, and now entering year five, he's still trying to recapture that form. But we saw glimpses down the stretch. We saw him put up 14 and 13 in game three, the playoff win against the Warriors. And so that has a lot of Rockets fans hoping that, as a restricted free agent, he's on the verge of re-signing with the Rockets. On that note, welcome in to another episode of Locked on Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, and this is the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets and taking you inside the team to get the latest scoop on everything going on over at Toyota Center. It's a part of the Locked on podcast, and basically our role is to be your voice. We want to be your connection. We want to be there for you guys on a daily basis and tell you what's going on with the team. Now, a lot of this week, we've talked big picture stuff. We had Slow-Mo Sprung from the comeback and awful announcing. We had Brett Coromenos, formerly of Grantland, now with Real GM, to talk big picture. Where do the Rockets stand now? What future moves might they make? We've been doing that because, really, there's been an absence of actual news. The only thing that's still on the immediate horizon that we know of is the Donatas Motiejunas free agency situation. And it just continues to be this awkward dance because he's a restricted free agent, which means the odds are he's coming back to Houston. The Rockets have the right to match any outside offer. But he wants other teams involved in the bidding process so that he can get the most money he can. But other teams are hesitant to get involved in the bidding process because of the Rockets' ability to match and the likelihood that he'll be back in Houston. And the Rockets have no incentive to overwhelm him with an offer since they can let the league set the going rate. So what it leads to is a lot of nothing. And it goes on for a few weeks, as it has now, because we heard rumblings in the first week of free agency that he was hoping to stay with the Rockets. He had a lunch with new coach Mike D'Antoni in late June. And, you know, there's never been a real report that he was looking elsewhere. Yet here we are, Monday's going to be August 1st, and there's still no deal. And while that's not the only thing the Rockets are working on, certainly, you know, Daryl Morey is always looking at trades, as we explained in yesterday's show. This is the one thing, the Donatas Motiejunas contract situation, that they do want to get resolved quickly. Because they do still believe he can be an above-average big man in the NBA, potentially a starter, assuming his back holds up. This is a guy who 2 years ago looked capable of scoring 15 and 7 with decent defense, shooting at least average from three, if not well above average for a big man. So you see a lot of potential, you see the flashes, you hope it comes together more quickly. And now, besides just working on the basketball court, you have to hope the contract comes together fairly quickly. So without further ado, I want to welcome in Calvin Watkins. He is the Rockets beat writer for ESPN.com and really about as good of an insider on the team as you will find. So let's go ahead and get him connected and see what he's heard. Calvin, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, yeah.
Welcome into the show. Your first appearance on Locked on Rockets, and I know you'd like to go on vacation and be done with your summer reporting, but this whole Demo thing won't really let you. What have you heard with him lately, man?
Well, they're still talking to him. I think he's talking to some other teams as well, but I do believe they'll get the deal done. Donatas, he's already talked to Mike D'Antoni about how he'll fit in the offense, and the Rockets know what type of player he is, and they want him to come back. He wants to come back. It's just a matter of working out the contract.
Yeah. Is it just his restricted status that makes it draw out so long? Because, you know, you normally don't see this drag out for 4 weeks, but I guess the problem is that, you know, Demo would like to have leverage. He would like to get the best deal he can, which means getting outside offers. But I guess it's kind of tough to get outside offers if the other, you know, if the other teams feel like you're going to stay in Houston anyway.
Toronto did that with Biombo. He was restricted, and they, you know, let go of his rights to sign someone else. So I was kind of surprised, and, you know, the Rockets did that with Terrence Jones, too. They let him go so he could sign with somebody else. So, but Demo is probably the only restricted free agent on the market that, you know, that is, that's desirable to teams. And plus the Rockets, you know, they had to take care of some business. They had to, you know, get Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, and then James Harden's contract, and they needed a backup center, and they got Nene signed. So they had some other things going on, but I believe they felt like Donatus was going to still be there because they didn't rescind his rights. That's number one. And number two, man came off back surgery. That was a point of contention in that trade with the Pistons last year. So I'm sure teams were a little leery of the back, even though Donatus did finish the season. And it looked pretty good at times last year after he came back from the back surgery.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, I'm curious what role you see him playing, because to me, there's still a big opportunity for minutes in the front court, because you don't know what Ryan Anderson's going to be able to provide you defensively. You know, Nene at this point in his career is probably a 20 minutes a game player. And Clint Capella, for all the positives, you know, he's never played more than 19 minutes a game in an NBA season. So to me, there's a, you know, even though he'd probably be a backup, there's a big avenue for Monty Unis to potentially earn minutes if he shows that he's healthy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He is, I would say, if once he signs and all that kind of stuff, and then you show me the roster and say, who's your opening day starters? Well, Donatus is not my opening day starter.
Yep.
However, he is probably the seventh or eighth man off the bench, because he's a guy you need on the floor. If he's healthy, he'll probably play that 25 minutes a game. Nene's probably going to play, you know, 15 to 20, if that. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if the Rockets also try to get another center, just in case Nene gets nicked up. And, of course, Capella is a young guy, but you never know about his durability. And you're right, he's never played more than 19 minutes in a particular game in his young career. So there are some issues there in the front court, but not major ones. But Donatus is a guy who's going to get significant minutes for this Rockets team, as he should, because I think he's a very good player.
Yeah. Aside from the Monty Unis situation, if they were to make another move this offseason, be it a signing a free agent, be it a trade, what is the weakness? What is the easiest thing that they could fill outside if they were to make another move besides Monty Unis?
Well, you can never have enough scorers.
Yep.
In my opinion, I think you need guys who can score, to be honest about it. There are players in this league who are still available. Bobby Brown, for instance, who played overseas. The Rockets have a strong interest in bringing him over for a non-guaranteed deal. You know, they signed Gary Payton. I think he's underwent sports hernia surgery.
Yep.
You need a younger guard, a point guard, per se. Now, nothing against Pat Beverly, but Pablo Prigioni is the backup with Celis. But he's a traditional point guard. But you need a younger guy, too. So that's where I think Gary Payton comes in. Bobby Brown might be able to come in, one of those combo guards. So if they get another guard, that would be beneficial. They have enough shooters.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, you know, Sam Decker had a redshirt year.
Yep.
And I saw him play three summer league games in person. And then I saw him, you know, on TV the other two games that the Rockets played, and I wasn't at. And I thought Sam looked pretty good. And, you know, I don't expect Sam to be in the D-League a whole lot. I think he's going to be with the big club, and he should get some time. So it'll be interesting to see if he plays 10 to 12 minutes a night. And, you know, I don't know how he'll be defensively. But to give Trevor Ariza a blow, you know, lessen his minutes, that's going to help a little bit. So the Rockets have some guys on their roster currently who might, who we didn't see a lot of last year, like Decker, Montrezl Harrell, and even your boy KJ McDaniel.
Oh yeah,
who might be able to step up and play pretty well for them.
Yeah, and that was, you know, I was going to ask you about Decker next. You know, I know you don't want to blow summer league out of proportion, but.
No.
You know, it feels like he might have a shot to be, you know, to be in your rotation, you know, if he has a good camp. Because the other guys he's competing with, you know, for the backup three spot behind Trevor Ariza, Corey Brewer did not have a good season last year. And KJ McDaniels, you know, as much as they claim to like him, he still hasn't developed a perimeter shot to where they're comfortable with him. So to me, it seems like there's an avenue. You know, nothing's going to be given to him. He'd have to earn it. But, you know, neither Corey Brewer or KJ McDaniels is entrenched enough to me where you'd say, you know what, they're guaranteed X minutes. You know, there's a path for Decker to get minutes.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely there. You know, Corey Brewer was a major disappointment last year. He just, I don't know if something was going on with him, but, you know, he was professional. He did what he could. You know, they tried to trade him early in the year. They didn't. And they kept him around. I thought he might be on the block again, and he wasn't, maybe because of hardly any takers for him. So he was a big disappointment. And because of that, now it opens the door for, yes, Sam Decker to get more time. KJ McDaniel, a guy who I think should get more time this year. I mean, he did sign him, you know, the 3-year deal. When he, remember, he was a restricted free agent, and he had a lot of offers from teams, and he stayed with the Rockets, and they never played him. Now, he was a raw player. I think he was his second year in the league, so I get it. But at some point, you know, you got to play people. You got to let people know, hey, this guy, the reason why we gave him this money is see if he can perform.
Yeah.
And KJ McDaniel, this is the year where KJ McDaniel has to play. And if he's not going to play, then you need to make him an asset to get something else. And that all affects Corey Brewer. If Corey Brewer continues the downward spiral that he's under, based on last year, I think there is room for guys like Decker and KJ to play more. And they should play more, to be quite honest.
Yeah. As far as trading Brewer, I want to throw out my conspiracy theory to you. I think you've already read this, but what's interesting to me, you know, your colleague Tim McMahon up at ESPN Dallas, you know, he reported that the Rockets basically offered the same thing that the Mavs did for Andrew Bogut when the Warriors were having to clear all that cap room to sign Kevin Durant. You know, well, if they had gotten if Bogut had chosen the Rockets, then you know, he has a 1-year, $11 million deal. In other words, he's $8 million more expensive than Nene. So if that would have happened, unless you believe that they would value Bogut ahead of renegotiating Harden, which seems absolutely silly, then what would have had to have happened is the Rockets would have had a trade lined up elsewhere to, you know, to free up the money for Harden. And so I don't know anything, but I just suspect that Brewer's a big candidate, because you know who makes $8 million that would fit in that exact hole? Corey Brewer. So that's kind of my conspiracy theory. You know, I can't imagine that the Rockets, you know, Andrew Bogut's a nice player. He's a nice interior presence. But, getting Andrew Bogut instead of an A, I can't imagine Daryl Morey saying, well, that's the difference. Now that we got 1 year of Andrew Bogut, you know, I'm not going to try to renegotiate James Harden. You know, my guess is that he had a another plan. And as you said, they've looked at trading Brewer before, so to me, he seems like the most likely candidate that, you know, if they could deal him, if there was a deal, Corey's a good candidate to go elsewhere.
Yeah, I think so. I've always believed that next past year, 2 years ago, when they went to the conference finals, that Corey Brewer earned that contract, because he was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
He was fantastic. He had a wonderful season. He had a career year.
And his game six in Staples Center was, you know, they wouldn't have won it without him.
Yeah. He was fantastic. And he was a good locker room guy and good chemistry, you know. And it made sense to bring him back. And it is good business history to say, oh, they shouldn't have brought Corey Brewer back. Oh, they shouldn't have brought, well, you know what? It's hard to break up a team that just went to the Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
It is really hard. And I think Morey might have thought about breaking them up, but he said, you know what? I'm going to let the players run the show, and this is what we're going to do. And he saw what happened. You can only trade somebody, because when you trade a player, and you know this, Ben, that means there's something wrong with that player.
Right.
With you. Now, that means you have to find someone who thinks that the play that you have that you believe is damaged can be fixed. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you're trading damage. Sometimes you're trading damaged goods, basically.
Yeah.
And Corey Brewer was damaged goods at the end of the year. I mean, I was nothing like Corey Brewer. He just was not. He did not play up to a level that I thought was acceptable. And even he will say that he struggled badly from three, missed layups. He was just I would be on Twitter, and the fans would just go crazy.
Oh, yeah. The you mentioned Corey Brewer on Twitter now. They still go nuts.
Yes. So if he trade bait, he'll be on the roster, you know, October 31st, whenever opening night is. And if you had to tell me, list the five players on this, the 15 guys who are trade bait, well, he'd be at the top of the list. Because he's a veteran guy, he might need to change the scenery if he struggles again. So this is an important year for Brew. I think he's got 1 year left of his deal.
Or he's got two years.
Yeah, okay. So that's another thing. It's hard to trade a guy 2 years left unless his name is LeBron James or somebody.
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty there. But I don't know if he'll get better. But the Rockets are going to find out very quickly if he is better. And if not, then they're going to put the young guys out there, as we said, in Decker and KJ McDaniels.
Yep. Last question for me. We've talked a lot this month about, you know, the impact of Harden's renegotiated contract, what that means for stability, everything else with the team moving forward. One thing that kind of intrigues me, an angle I haven't seen talked about, is if it might make Morey more comfortable in, you know, certain trades. Because before you had Harden locked in, you had to deal with the reality that you could be rebuilding within a year or two. You know, if Harden hadn't signed that deal, you might have had to start looking at, you know, a rebuild, maybe even trading him as soon as next summer to kind of prevent that. And so kind of, you know, the next step with that, I'm not sure if they had been looking at a rebuild, if the Rockets would have been willing to, say, trade future first-round picks, trade young players, because, you know, Morey would have had to keep in the back of his mind this idea that, you know, if Harden might leave, I can't get caught like the Brooklyn Nets now. You know, I've got to be ready for all scenarios. Well, now that he knows he's got Harden locked in, I feel like he might be a little more aggressive than he was before. Because whereas in the past, you know, you kind of had to, you know, he kind of had to hedge his bets, wait and see what James might do. Of course, he had to be aggressive for big names, but I'm saying, you know, little things. Now that he has James locked in, I feel like that gives the Rockets a little bit more freedom with how they build the rest of their roster. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. I was told that the Rockets have no plans to let James Harden to become a free agent ever.
Yep.
They want this guy to be here. So in their minds, we're building around James Harden. So we'll find players who fit James Harden's game. And so when they go into free agency or even the draft, they will say, hey, this is the face of the franchise. Can you play with this guy? And if the answer to that question is yes, then you're more open to signing with the Rockets. And I think that was a smart job by Morey to say, we need our franchise player inked up. Because he knows that, okay, they lost Dwight. And he did not want to go into, I think James had 2 years left in his deal. He did not want to go with the uncertainty of, you know what? I'm not going to have James Harden.
Yeah.
I don't want Ryan Anderson to be the face of the franchise.
Oh, God.
I need James Harden to be the face of the franchise. So he took care of him financially and long term. And there's a hope, and I believe it will occur, that he will re-up again with the Rockets and stay for another 3 years. And they'll max him out until, you know, they're done with him.
Sounds good. Everybody, that's Calvin Watkins. You can find him on Twitter at Calvin Watkins. And, of course, he's ESPN.com's beat writer for the Rockets. Calvin, thank you so much for the time, bud.
Thank you.
That's Calvin Watkins, Rockets beat writer for ESPN.com. Apologies to everybody for the connection difficulties we had at the beginning of the call, but we got it straightened out. I think it was a pretty good interview. Lots of optimistic stuff on Demo. While there's no deal, he wants to be back, and the Rockets would like to have him back. So no matter how long it takes, there's still a pretty high sense of optimism that a deal gets done, and it is a need for the Rockets. I also thought Calvin made some really good points about Harden. I think there's too many people that look at this strictly in terms of math, that, well, now Harden, he can opt out after 2019, so really the Rockets paid him $50 million more guaranteed only for one extra year, because in the past it would have been 2018. And to me, that's not what this is about at all. If he had one foot out the door, he's got so much endorsement money, the $200 million contract with Adidas. There's no real incentive for him to give up his flexibility if he wants to go somewhere else. The main motivation for him having that player option after 2019 is because that'll be heading into his 10th season in the NBA, which can put him in that top max salary bracket to where he can get the very top max, which at the very first time that he's eligible to get it. So while it looks like just a one-year extension, in reality, it's more than that. It's sending a message to the NBA that James Harden is a Houston Rocket for life, that this is his franchise, and Rockets fans should be pretty pleased with the deal and the stability it gives them going forward. And as Calvin said, the people around the Rockets are trying to make it clear, it's not just about these next couple of years. It's about, they've already thought about giving him the next contract, which would be in 2019 when he's eligible for that Supermax. They've already got plans to give him another max. And basically, him staying with Houston the rest of his career, you never know. There's always contracts running out, and you know, if something were to happen, he would have a route. But this is not just a one-year, $50 million extension. This is much bigger than that, and that stability gives the Rockets a core they can depend on going forward. Now, with that said, it is Friday. I thought we had a good interview with Calvin, but we do typically have our end-of-the-week hashtag Twitter mailbag, and I do want to get to a couple of those questions before we close it out and go on weekend. First one from my buddy Joey D, who asked, what's the max amount of minutes you think Capella would log? Can he play 30-plus effective minutes per game? I would go under. I'm going to put Capella at 28 because, really, it's tough to see him going from 19 minutes a game to, say, 35. You usually don't see a young player spike that much in terms of minutes. It's more of a slow increase. And I don't think Nene signed here to play less than 20 minutes a game. Theoretically, you could play Capella and Nene together in a pinch, but in a Mike D'Antoni system, I don't think you're going to be playing two bigs. I think pretty much you're going to be playing either of Capella and Nene, not both. So basically, you have 48 minutes for those two players, maybe less if you try and slide Giannis Bonaunis to center in some situations. And I think Nene is going to get at least 20 minutes a game because basically he signed for under market value. That 1 year, $2.9 million, he doesn't do that if the Rockets aren't telling him he's going to have a real role, which to me means, you know, at least 20 minutes at night. That's something he can establish his value in, both for this season and his next contract in the years ahead. So I think their kind of optimal rotation is Nene at 20 minutes, Capella at 28. Also, the thing to keep in mind with Clint is that he's had trouble with fouls. It hasn't always shown up because in the past he's only played 19 minutes a game, as we were talking about with Calvin. So I don't see it being a huge thing, but as he gets into starters minutes, if you want to play 35 minutes a night, you've got to be able to stay out of foul trouble, and that's going to be a process for him. I think he can get better at it, but from day one, it's a lot to ask, so I think rather than give him a huge jump to 30-plus, I think a more gradual move is in order to get into the upper 20s, make him your starter. I do think he'll start while Daryl Morey has not committed to Capella or Nene at the five. When he was asked in Las Vegas at the Summer League who would be the team's starters, he said Beverly, Harden, Ariza, and Anderson. He was non-committal in the five spot. However, I don't think Nene starts alongside Ryan Anderson for one reason. You need rim protection in this league, and while Nene is a decent defender, at this point in his career, he is not really a shot blocker. And Ryan Anderson is definitely not a shot blocker. And I would just be very surprised, given Ryan Anderson's defensive limitations, if they paired him up front with someone who can't block shots around the rim. I think they would like to play Anderson and Capella together, see how that works, and use Capella's shot blocking to help offset the deficiencies that Ryan Anderson has. And the second question on our Twitter mailbag from the real Denzel: out of the players named, do you think their team would want Brewer? I don't see Ariza being moved. And out of the players named, he's referring to our earlier podcast when we talked about the potential for Brewer or KJ or even Sam Decker to get moved in trades, you know, if there's a consolidation trade or if there's even a bigger trade for the likes of Rudy Gay. I do think Brewer could still have positive trade value. I know I keep hammering it home a lot, but that Bogut deal and the Rockets' willingness to go after him, even after committing to Anderson and Gordon, shows some willingness that they had a plan to send salary out. And after talking with Brett Coromenos of Real GM earlier this week, that really hammered home the point that Trevor Ariza is really important for this team right now. There's not many other two-way players, especially in the front court, the type of defense he has. So I don't think they move Ariza just for salary relief. Their confidence in moving salary is apparently high, and so I think Brewer can be moved. Also, it's really not that bad of a contract. 2 years, $16 million. In this market, that's not that much, and he's only 1 year removed from being a quality offensive player, a guy who would come in off the bench and make a lot of things happen. And he's a veteran. He's, by all accounts, a hard worker, a good guy in the clubhouse. So in the new NBA climate, I don't think 2 years, $16 million is that crazy. It might be a little overpaid, but I don't think it's anything like, well, you're going to have to attach draft picks or something of significant value to move Brewer. You know, I think teams, especially those that have rotation spots available and have a lot of salary cap room, I think it's doable. And then, you know, as far as everybody else who's the most tradable, I still go with KJ. We've talked about it before, but Sam Decker, to me, has more upside, especially in a Mike D'Antoni system, given how well Sam sees the floor than KJ. I think KJ was signed all along to be a trade piece, and there's opportunities to move him. He had a good offseason in the summer league. He shows a lot of promise. You just need a team that can commit to developing him, and that's just something the Rockets couldn't do last year. They were always in desperation mode. So I would rank him second after Brewer as far as candidates to go if the Rockets are going to make another trade this offseason. With that said, I think it's time to wrap up Locked On Rockets for this week. I think it's been a very productive week. Again, we thank all of you for listening. This is the only daily podcast covering the Rockets, and we want to be there for you. We want to bring you guys the most insight and news on the team, and I'm thankful to everybody that continues to give us a chance. I think we've given you some good shows this week. We had Slow Mo Sprung on Tuesday of National NBA columnist for the comeback and awful announcing. We had Brett Corimenos on Wednesday from Grantland and Real GM. And now, of course, we had Calvin Watkins of ESPN.com today. So, again, we want to keep building this, and guests like that help. We also want to be there for you guys. So if you have questions, thoughts, always reach out to the show. The Twitter handle is at LockedOnRockets. The official email is LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. And you can always reach me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. Again, this is Locked On Rockets. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and we are the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. So thank you for your time, and have a good weekend, folks.